Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 729. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is laying near me on the floor as I record this. And we are several hours off from another feeding for him, so I think he's going to be pretty chill. But he doesn't like me sitting at this desk for whatever reason and talking for a while, so we'll probably chime in at some point. I left it as a bit of a cliffhanger last week on the podcast as to whether or not I was going to adventure into Colorado in November, and, you know, I probably made it sound like I was going to. Well, to visit Mr. Bruce Campbell, as he's doing a live Q&A for his film Ernie and Emma. And I tried to get tickets for the St. Louis one. It was sold out. And yeah, I failed there. And I had contemplated last week about whether or not I should travel to Littleton, Colorado to see that, and I ended up deciding not to do so. Yes. I came to my senses. It was going to cost a wee bit too much. To do that, and so I decided that was not, it was going to cost too much. I'd have to take vacation, which I don't currently have, I'm trying to save my vacation, is what I'm saying. trying to save my vacation for the end of the year, and hoping that, you know, I mean, I got to save at least a week in case the plant shuts down for a week. I have to have that because I need to get paid. And so I want to hold on to my vacation. I didn't want to burn a day or two in November. And then also, I've got, you know, it was going to cost a couple hundred bucks at least to go on this adventure. And I need to be a little bit wiser with that. And it was also, you know, possibility of snow and stuff being that year, that time of year, going into Colorado. And my thought is, I'm still trying to refresh tickets because I have noticed on the Littleton show, the 7 o'clock showing was sold out, but I guess somebody canceled their ticket because there is an open seat or two now showing at that 7 o'clock show. I'm hoping maybe somebody, I mean, we got a while. The St. Louis show is on Halloween, which is also like the best time to like hang out with Bruce Campbell, right? But well, every day is a great day to hang out with Bruce Campbell. I can't say I've never hung out with a man, but he's reading his book, which his first book, If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-rated Actor, or B-movie Actor, I believe is the title, something along those lines. I'm about 100 pages shy of finishing it, so I'm getting close, and it's still, I find it very entertaining. I'll probably eventually get his other books. But anyway, yeah, he seems like an entertaining dude. I love, you know, in interviews and stuff. And I would love to meet the guy. Hopefully, you know, he does some like event, because this is a live Q&A too, looking into it. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's going to meet with every person, which is really what I wanted, just a moment with Bruce Campbell. That would be fire. So I'm hoping he does some kind of Comic-Con or something of that nature that's comes to St. Louis, or maybe like a trip to Chicago. That wouldn't be so bad. I could do Chicago as long as it was during the day. so that way I could travel to Chicago in the morning, say, and then leave out at night so I don't have to get a hotel room, that sort of situation. That was another thing. If I would have gone to Littleton, Colorado, I was going to need to get a hotel room. And, you know, hotels are pricey for just a night stay. And I probably would have spent like $400 or $500 or something of that nature. I'm thinking that when all is said and done, because I would have had to eat and everything, the hotel room. And the more I looked at it, it was just like, let's not do that. It's going to be right before the holidays, because so I'm going to need money for the holidays and what have you. So I sadly, I'm not going to go on that adventure. Hopefully I have some money next year and for going on some kind of adventure. I need some adventure in my life, you know, a little vacay, a little reset. I find that's very important. Maybe just a stay homecation. But then again, with work, we often shut down during the holiday season for like at least a week, and I'll probably need to, burn some vacation for that. So it's like we'll see what happens. I was thinking, though, that they will be showing Ernie and Emma for like a week or so, I think, once it's there at the Alamo Drafthouse. I will probably go and see the film in the theater, though, minus Bruce Campbell being there, which, that hurts just saying that. But I would like to see the movie in the theater, too. You know, I gotta support my boy, Mr. Campbell, and... I think I might just go to the Alamo Drafthouse on the night of Halloween and see another movie in another theater. And, you know, maybe I'll just run into him in the hallway sort of situation in the lobby. You know, you never know. And really, I'm not expecting to have, you know, a massive moment with Bruce Campbell. Just to be share in the same space at the same time, that's pretty awesome stuff. I mean, it was pretty monumental for me to go to the Blues Hall of Fame game, which I guess I went to the season before last. Yeah. And of course, I almost completely bumped into Cujo as I saw Wayne Babich, his eyebrows at first. Of course, Babich and Cujo were being inducted into the Hall of Fame at the same time. And they were at that game that I'd went to, and I was like 8 seats back from the players' bench, the Blues bench, and fucking awesome. When Cujo came out, that is Curtis Joseph, of course, the legendary Blues goalie, and like the first goalie I really remember from the Blues, from watching the Blues. Anyway. Greatest fucking name, Cujo nickname, and then of course he had the Cujo mask that was fucking, I still think, is like the best goalie masks of all time. Maybe, you know, I'm a bit biased. There's some really cool goalie masks out there, but that Cujo mask, that one's got a special place in my heart. Anyway, I remember seeing him on the ice before the game started. He went out on the ice, him and Babich, and you know, they honored him, and I was just like, holy shit. And, like, looking at him, he was still ripped, and just thought, like, man, he could probably still go out there and play. And anyway, it was like, you know, first intermission after the first period, or maybe it was the second. I don't recall. I did record a podcast right afterwards. So I have audio... audio of it somewhere of me telling it like firsthand where I remembered. Anyway, I went to go to the bathroom, and of course a really long line, and or maybe I was just getting food. I don't recall. I was in between periods. I was walking about the Enterprise Center, and then I see Wayne Babich's eyebrow. I was like, holy shit, I was like, I think that's Wayne Babich because of the eyebrows. Now, Babich played a little bit before the time, like, I was really getting into or my first real experience of watching the Blues. Like Cujo, I was like old enough to like kind of be aware, you know, and or I was aware and, you know, watched some games. Babbage played a little before that time, really. I remember when he retired or left the Blues, but I think I was pretty young when he was on the Blues, like really, really, really young. Anyway, I saw Babbage. I was like, oh, shit, I think that's Wayne Babbage because of the eyebrow, just seeing those big, bushy eyebrows. And then, like, turned to my corner and then just almost completely faceplant into Cujo, Curtis Joseph. And I was just, like, dumbfounded. I had bought, before the game, I had bought his puck, his Hall of Fame puck, and I had it in my pocket. Or no, I might have had it in a bag. I don't remember if I had it in my pocket or bag. But I had it on me, is the point. And I was just kind of dumbfounded. I mean, we were like face to face and just, deer in the headlights. And I didn't say anything. But then he went one direction, I went the other. And as I was going the other direction, I was like, son of a bitch, I should at least, you know, tell him like congrats or something. And so I turned around. It was like, you know, a couple of seconds. Turn around and he was gone. But that, like, that moment of just being like face to face, like sharing the same air as Curtis Joseph was pretty awesome. It was pretty fucking awesome. And I'll cherish that moment till the day I die. If I could have that kind of moment with Bruce Campbell, I mean, that was strong, you know. Bruce Campbell is probably more. I've watched a lot of hockey, but not, you know, I feel like I've watched Bruce Campbell movies a lot more. And I'm, you know, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, Xena, you know, I've watched a lot of shit with Bruce Campbell. Now reading his book, I feel pretty damn attached to the fella, you know, especially now reading his book. And the fact that, of course, I do have a bust of him from Evil Dead 2. A lifelike bust of him in my kitchen. kitchen/dining room. I guess it's more of the dining room-ish. But I look at him every day. It's a weird thing. I don't know what I would say to Bruce Campbell just running into him at like the lobby of a movie theater, but it's just like, holy shit, Bruce Campbell. That would be fucking awesome. Just to have that moment. It would be cool, way cooler, I guess, to be sitting in on his live Q&A and maybe ask him a question or two. I don't know what question I would ask him. I did read a really cool story in his book where I forgot what he was filming, but he was riding a bike, as in a bicycle, and having some downtime. And he came across a fox and had quite the experience with the fox. He was wearing a hat. It was like a brand new hat, and I think a pricey hat, like a baseball type hat. he apparently took off because he noticed that, like, the fox wasn't like scared of him, and it was just kind of hanging around. And so then he like threw the hat, and the fox started playing with the hat, and he ended up like the fox like took off with his hat. So then he like gave pursuit to the fox, and then got his hat back. But then like back and forth, kind of like a dog, like throwing the hat, and like the fox messed with the hat. The fox ended up like tearing up the hat. I think he named the fox Sandy. I forgot what the reasoning was behind that, but I love foxes. I've never had an experience. I've come close to foxes before, but not quite that close. I haven't like played with them with like a hat, and I was like, oh, that is awesome. And then apparently, upon going back to whatever set he was working on, most of the people just didn't believe him. Like, you're full of shit. And, but yeah, I love the fact that he played. And, you know, I've got a cat named Fox here. So, like, I have a fondness for foxes. Anyway, besides that, you know, contemplating whether or not I should go on a journey for Mr. Bruce Campbell. Again, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to go to the movie theater that night. Maybe I'll just hang out in the lobby. Don't even buy tickets. I'll buy a drink and some candy or something. We'll just hang out in the lobby. I know what time the show is. I'm going to try to make sure that I keep refreshing the page, though, on the Bruce Campbell live Q&A, because, you know, you never know. Somebody might have to cancel their ticket or whatever, and then I'll be able to get said tickets. Unfortunately, right now, that's not the case. There's still a few tickets for Littleton. I guess I could, you know, still make a decision where, like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go to Littleton, Colorado. I'm thinking that's not going to happen. I'm pretty confident I won't be doing that. But that being said, yeah. I did get Howard the Duck going on, segue into that. I did get Howard the Duck on Blu-ray. Blu-ray and the 4K. I was watching it in 4K Thursday. I got through part of it. Friday, I finished it up. I was dozing off quite a bit. Work has been really wearing me down. But man, it looked really good in 4K. And I didn't realize until getting this that it's the 40-year anniversary this year of Howard the Duck. And I know the movie bombed in the theaters, but I happen to love that movie. And it had been a few years since I watched it. I'd forgotten just how many jokes and whatnot were involved and involving sex. And it's so funny because it was considered, I mean, it was sold as a kid's movie, much like RoboCop. Well, RoboCop, I guess, wasn't sold as a kid's movie, but then he started doing, like, Happy Meal toys and shit. It was a little weird, considering the movie was ultra-violent. I fucking love RoboCop. And then they bastardized it. They fucked up when they did that. They started selling action figures and whatnot, trying to sell it to kids, because then they tried to make the movies. Two was still good. I enjoy RoboCop 2, but 3, that's like they started to go try to get like a PG rating or PG-13, whatever it was, and missed the whole point of what was good about RoboCop. It was just, you know, the dark humor and just the violence was part of it too, you know? And you just can't, anyway. Howard the Duck, very much a movie that had adult themes in it. And I watched it as a... I was 5 when it came out. I probably watched it at 5. I don't recall the first time I watched Howard the Duck. But I happen to love Howard the Duck. I don't know that we went and saw it in the theater. Maybe. Maybe. Again, I was like 5 when it came out. So... I know I watched it plenty of times after it came out of the theater, though. And when it hit video rental places. I think the best part of Howard the Duck is like the opening sequence when he's on his home planet, and you get to see all the duck stuff, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. I forgot what they changed it to, which you can tell that they are really selling the fact about like Lucas, like, being involved in this, of course, because, you know, he was involved with, like, Indiana Jones. They have people wearing shirts of Indiana Jones. There's at the beginning, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. of course, he and Spielberg were involved in making the Indiana Jones. Anyway, it's all over Howard the Duck. And, of course, like, the images that were really blasted into my head were like the duck boobs when, of course, Howard is being teleported away via that laser thing they shot out into space. He's being pulled through his apartment building, and of course there's a duck woman that is bathing in a tub and her boobs are out, and those duck boobs were just emblazoned into my young brain. Thankfully, I wasn't getting off on it. I don't have a weird kink to where the only way I can blow my load is duck boobs. That is not a thing for me. That whole opening sequence is pretty fantastic in his home world. Him watching, I think he's watching TV at the beginning and stuff, and you see the pictures of him like in his band and whatnot, and then of course, like after he comes to Earth, he has to find a job, and he gets it basically at a bathhouse where it is implied that people are having sex in this bathhouse, and he's like the towel boy cleaning the shit up. And of course, Leia Thompson is the one that initially finds him. Of course, also played the mother in Back to the Future with, you know, she had a weird, starting out in the 80s with the movies where involving sex, really, because, you know, she in Back to the Future played the mother, of course, of Marty McFly. And she wanted to bang her son, though she didn't, to be fair to her, she didn't know it was her son. It was just, oh, I'm really attracted to him. It's just for some reason, this Marty McFly, which he went by Calvin Klein to her because that was the name on his underwear, or she thought it was Calvin Klein. It would be a little odd too. He can't just say, hey, I'm Marty McFly. Oh, you're related to George McFly. No, he's got he's a spaceman. He's Calvin Klein. Anyway, so she in the 80s, like, I guess Leia Thompson's like big movies. She became like a big, you know, TV star there for a while. She was Caroline in the City, which is an entertaining show. Anyway, and of course, Howard the Duck, she wants to bang some Howard. It would apply. And then she tells Howard, oh, I'm just joking, just screwing around with you. I'm pretty sure she wanted to bang Howard. And he was the one getting nervous about it. And then, of course, there's the later scene in the diner where people are trying to kill him. And she had said that she's his girlfriend. a little weird, especially as a child, like watching that. But I love the movie. It is fantastic. And though it's a little weird watching it now, a little fucked up, knowing that was it Jeffrey Jones, I believe is the actor's name, the that plays the scientist that gets invaded by the Dark Lord. Let me make sure. Yeah, Jeffrey Jones. Because if you're unaware, he's also the father in Beetlejuice, and then years after Beetlejuice came out, he would be arrested for child porn. And I believe he served time in jail for said child porn. For being a pedo. I don't remember the exact details on it. But, they killed him off come Beetlejuice 2. And it's a little weird watching it now, knowing this. I was like, oh, yeah, you are kind of a... You are a bad motherfucker. Bad motherfucker sounds like cool. He is not. He is just a scumbag. That's a better way to describe it. Scumbag, I don't think you can be like... Scumbags just aren't cool. It's just a degenerate fuck. Anyway, takes me out of it. Which, you know, the character in the movie, as far as I know, wasn't fucking children or jerking off to him. So I just got to remember, don't let that ruin the movie for me. I don't think me buying that movie on 4K, like any of the part of the proceeds went to him, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess he might still get royalties off that shit. I didn't even think about that till now. Like buying, like, God damn it, I might be giving that fucker money. It was only like 10 or 11 bucks though on Amazon. His cut of that can't be much, if any. Which I don't think in the 80s that people were getting like royalties figured into. He wasn't like the, you know, main star of the movie. He was, I guess you could say he was the antagonist. because the Dark Lord alien, the real villain, invaded his body. Anyway, I do love the movie Howard the Duck, regardless of this. So yeah, I thought it would be interesting to go over some trivia to Howard the Duck, as I've got the IMDb page opened up right in front of me here. Says, according to reports at the time of the movie's release, George Lucas had just built the $50 million Skywalker Ranch complex and was counting on this film to get him back in the black. When it bombed, he was forced to start selling off assets to stay afloat. His friend Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple Computer, of course, offered to help by buying Lucasfilm's newly launched CGI animation division for a price well above market value. Lucas, in dire straits and thankful for the assistance, agreed. That division eventually became Pixar Animation Studios. That was after the time that, I believe that was in the period when Steve Jobs had been fired from Apple. And he spent several years doing stuff outside of Apple. And yeah, Jobs would end up creating like Pixar, and from him buying Lucasfilm's CGI animation division, and then that would lead to Toy Story. Fun fact, there was something else I was gonna say unrelated to the trivia about Howard the Duck, and it eludes me at the moment. Anyway, back to the trivia. In a Twitter comment, actress, oh, I know what I was gonna say. We'll go back to that trivia part here. I'd said a few years ago, I had heard that Leia Thompson was interested in directing a Howard the Duck feature. And she would be totally down for directing. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm in for this. And I was like, you know what? I don't know. You know, I'm thinking studios aren't knocking down her door for that. But I was like, you know what? If I won Powerball, I'd finance the Howard the Duck movie. Now, again, you still got to get like the rights and such. This is a problem. It's not like anybody can just make a movie of someone else's property. So the odds of me even winning Powerball and the ability to get the rights to make a Howard the Duck movie? I don't know. I don't think Disney's going to be like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do a Howard the Duck. But I had said, you know, I would do that. I'm going to make Leia Thompson's dream there come true, because it's my dream to get some more Howard the Duck. Anyway, probably not happening. Probably not. I think, you know, the more unlikely is just me winning the Powerball. But I was saying like a mega jackpot too, if it was like several hundred million, because, you know, movies are fucking expensive, especially like big movies. Back to the trivia, though. In a Twitter comment, actress Leia Thompson confirmed that she still has the Les Paul guitar Cherry Bomb and sometimes still plays it. That's a Gibson Les Paul. It's a Sunburst. Or, well, I don't know if it's a Sunburst. It's a burst of some sort. I approve of that. And that's cool that she actually plays it. Following a test screening, Universal executives Sid Sheinberg and Frank Price were allegedly arguing about who was to blame for greenlighting this film, which then ended in a fist fight. That's pretty awesome. That is fucking fantastic. Leia Thompson actually did the singing for all of the songs of her character's band, as did the other actresses in the group. On the 2009 DVD, she states that even during filming, the studio had not made a final decision as to whether to keep her singing voice or dub her. So apparently they did not dub her. For her 1980s style look, Leia Thompson had to have her hair styled for about 2 hours each day. She admitted later that she was not very happy about the treatment and should have worn a wig instead. Though, you know, I think it worked. It looks the part. She looks very 80s. uh, And anyway, in October 5th of 2017, a 70mm print of the movie was screened at the Egyptian Theater's Beyond Fest with over 400 people attending. Leah Thompson, who attended the screening as well, said that the event was better than the initial premiere of the movie. I would imagine so, because you have a lot of people that just absolutely love this movie now because it's, you know, sort of a cult classic. I mean, it's, I don't think it ever, I don't know that it ever made its money back, but executive producer George Lucas spent $2 million on Howard's duck suit, and 8 different actors worked inside the costume. I would imagine not at the same time. According to the 2009 DVD release, a child actor was intended to be the main Howard, but didn't work out. Another actor, Ed Gale, ended up performing most of the major scenes as Howard, earning a credit at the start of the film. The evil overlord is based on the Marvel villain who is the reason Howard was brought to Earth. His full title in the comics is Thog the Nether Spawn, Overmaster of Somnus. Which, fun fact, I've never actually read the comic. Somnus possesses the following powers and abilities: vast dark powers, elemental abilities, lasers, possession, telekinesis. There should have been an "and," I think, at the end. Anyway, the title character made a second cinematic appearance in the post-credit scene of Guardians of the Galaxy 2014, exactly 28 years and one day after the film's theatrical release in 86. That is 1986. Both movies are based on Marvel comic books. In July of 2021, actor Chip Zien, who voiced Howard, revealed in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter for the film's 35th anniversary that Robin Williams was originally cast for the role, but Williams quit after only a week out of frustration over syncing his voice to the duck's animatronic bill. An actor to voice Howard had not been cast yet during filming, so all of Howard's lines were read on set by the puppeteers, and the bill moved to fit their bland delivery. That made it impossible for Williams to use his wild improvisational style in post-production because it didn't work with the bill movements. The producers immediately called Zien, who had previously auditioned, and told him he had the part but needed to fly to California that night. And then Leia Thompson designed her character's look after Cyndi Lauper and Madonna. Second consecutive financial failure for director Willard Huyuk, whose previous film, Best Defense, was also a box office flop. The failure of this film killed off his directing career for good, and he never made another film after this one. Chip Zien was cast as the voice of Howard after filming was completed. During filming, puppeteer Tim Rose spoke Howard's lines through... Yeah, we kind of got that through a microphone. this is pretty good. George Lucas's close friend John Landis was originally slated to direct the film, but after reading the script, he turned down the opportunity due to the police car crashes in the finale. Really, that's it? He felt this was way too similar to that of his previous film, The Blues Brothers. That was the thing that killed... No. People are going to see that it's just like the Blues Brothers because of this car, police car chase. What the fuck? This is interesting. The cook in the sushi restaurant is wearing the Indiana Jones The Temple of Doom shirt, which was another Lucasfilm production. Oh, I thought they were going to get more into the restaurant. The sushi restaurant is interesting. Like, you've got these white people wearing, these like Japanese bandana. It's like a sushi place, but also a diner. I would be interesting to know a little bit more about that, honestly. I'm trying to see if there's anything else worth mentioning in here. John Cusack and Martin Short also auditioned for the voice of Howard. Obviously, neither of them got it. And Tori Amos, the musician Tori Amos, auditioned for the part of Beverly Switzler. Interesting. In 2011, a screen-worn Howard mask was sold on eBay for $1,525. A few weeks later, an original worn-out animatronic prop of Howard was also offered, but nobody had any interest in it. Fuck. I could have gotten me an animatronic prop from Howard, the duck. I can't believe no one. And that's kind of a steal for the mask. $1,525. A screen worn. Holy shit. That is pretty fucking epic. Oh, here we go. Podcaster and author Arnie Carvalho owns one of the world's largest private Howard the Duck collections with memorabilia, cast and crew items, and actual movie props, including the animatronic head used in the movie. So, I mean, if I want some Howard the Duck stuff, maybe I visit this guy. Though I feel like he's probably not selling his shit. Phoebe Cates also auditioned for Beverly. I guess, there's a Wilhelm scream in there. Anyway, you get the point here. A lot of interesting trivia. 40 years. It's crazy that, you know, there's movies out now that I saw as a kid, like when they came out, you know, and they're over 40 years. They're 40 years old or more. That's just not right. That hurts my brain to think about it. It hurts my brain. I'm going to have to have a drink of water and try to wash that from my brain a little bit as try to. Try to get that, clear that from a memory. As I'm old. I can't really hide it much anymore. It's rough. It's rough to come to this realization. Anyway, it's weird to be saying this next thing, but I'm still loving, like, every Thursday night now you get another video from InfoWars, and I'm on board. That is the real InfoWars now. Hosted by The Onion, or brought to you by The Onion and Tim Heidecker. And I'm enjoying it very much. Well, this last week, they put up, I'm probably not going to buy it because it is $50. I need to, again, start watching my spending. But on their website, you can buy Gay Frogs Now. If you're not familiar with, of course, Alex Jones, that did run InfoWars forever. It was his network. One of the big famous things that he said that went, you know, one of the things that he did that went viral is that they're putting stuff in the water to make the frogs gay. They're turning the frogs gay. And so now that The Onion owns InfoWars, they're selling gay frogs at The Onion store, the store.onion.com. It's a stuffed animal of a gay frog, and it's got I guess you'd say, would you say that was a scarf around its neck with the InfoWars logo on it, the new InfoWars rainbow logo with the onion in it as well, and it's pretty epic looking. And not only do you get that, but you get these holographic stickers with your gay frog purchase. And the gay frog stickers are pretty fucking awesome. It is, most of them say gay frog on it. And you got like the butch gay frog here. She's, I'm assuming that's a woman. It looks kind of, it's hard to tell with the frog, whether, what gender it is. But it's wearing like a flannel vest with the tube top makes me really think that, you know, is a female frog. Got jean shorts, some jorts, and like wearing boots with it. Pretty epic. Wearing it. Well, the tube top also has InfoWars on it. Fun fact. Then you've got the Rob Halford-esque gay frog, where he's wearing like all leather, and but just like wearing like a leather, like Speedo-esque, with like the straps connected to it, and the like leather motorcycle hat. On top, and of course leather boots to throw it in there too. And InfoWars, it says on his leather Speedo and his hat. And you've got just like a gay bodybuilder frog. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. I'm enjoying this whole bit, you know, very much. It is been very fantastic seeing this whole turn. anyway. I had caffeine today, but it was like quite a while before doing this podcast. It's starting to wear off. I was thinking about seeing Spider-Man today, but it's already 1:30 basically in the afternoon, and I'm tanking. I don't know that I'm going to have enough energy to go watch a movie later. We'll see what happens, I guess. anyway, yeah, gay frogs. Pretty awesome stuff. Love having me some great gay frogs. Perhaps one day I'll buy it. I know I messaged Shelley to let him know that gay frogs are on the Onion store. Or, well, I asked him if he had known, and he didn't know. He's like, no, but now I feel like I need to buy one. So he's also on board for the gay frogs. I've got on my computer screen the stickers, and yeah, it's just funny to stare at that. It is absolutely priceless. I was going to go climbing today, but that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Couldn't get any others from work to do it. And I did consider going by myself. I would still like to go get back into. I've climbed like twice, like an indoor climbing stuff. I really enjoyed it though. And I am hoping that at some point, get a little bit more into it. Of course, I do have my hangboard in my the room I'm in right now, the bedroom that I'm in. And so, you know, I've worked on it a little bit, but because of what I do at work, it's really I've been laying off it here because it can kind of, you know, make my arms sore, make my job a little bit harder as I got to be able to do my job, you know. But that being said, I would enjoy doing some climbing. Maybe I just should just stick to some bouldering or something. Maybe it's the higher stuff that's, although, I mean, you're still lifting yourself up even on the bouldering. I imagine it's still pretty much the same workout. I don't think it's the rappelling down part that's making it difficult for me. But, you know. I don't know when I'll ever get around to climbing again. But hopefully it will be at some point. I know that I am really excited that we're really only just like a month away from hockey. We've got the Blues preseason starts in September. I forgot what day exactly. I am super excited about that. As you know, the last few seasons, I've gone to many games. Last season, I only went to one game. I won't be able to go to like an insane amount of games this season. So it'll probably just be like one or two. As don't have quite the funds that I once had. That being said, though, I am, you know, looking forward to some more Blues games and just watching them on TV or the projector, rather. I do believe they're still going to be on the FanDuel network, so I will pay for that and be able to watch the Blues on the projector. I did see that maybe they've already signed with somebody, but Blues, former Blues alum, one Vladimir Tarasenko and one David Perron were not under contract. They may be now, as I'm recording this, or by the time I post this. But it's possible that, you know, perhaps the Blues could, you know, sign those. I would be really excited, especially to see David Perron back in the mix. To see, it would be great to have them retire as Blues, you know? I don't know. I don't think it's probably going to happen, though. Again, maybe it already happened with them signing with somebody else or, you know, what have you. I feel like it's unlikely. But, you know, you get to have guys like former Blues come back, you know, that were big parts of the team. And even though that, you know, they're really at the end of their career, it's a special thing to have them come back and like retire as Blue. I feel like Tarasenko definitely wouldn't re-sign with the Blues because he was the fans had really like turned on him at the end. And I don't think he was real happy about that. And, though, you know, I looking at, you know, what happened with because Tarasenko was like the biggest Blues player for a while. He was, you know, you every game you'd go to or watch on TV, all the most of the fans are wearing the 91, I believe was the number, the Tarasenko jersey. And that was like anytime you go to the store and see Blues jerseys, like Tarasenko was the jersey that was mainly there. And, you know, he was a big St. Louis favorite, fan favorite. So even though, you know, they did turn on him at the end. They're, not everybody. I mean, I didn't turn on the guy. He's one of the cup. He was on the cup team, man. And anywho, it would be pretty fantastic to see those two, either of those two, wear the blue note again for like, you know, one little last hurrah. As there's not many left on the team from when they won the cup. It would be, you know, pretty epic. I'd like to see the big rig, Pat Maroon, the St. Louis native. I'd like to see him be involved somehow in the Blues. He's retired now, of course, but I would like to see him, you know. It would be great to have him, like, at a Hall of Fame game. Like, that one, I'd like to go to that because I feel like the crowd's going to go nuts. I mean, he's the guy that won, was it against the Stars during the playoff run for the Cup year. They won in, I think it was the Stars. Yeah, they won triple overtime. And he, on game 7, scored the winning goal. I mean, that guy's a fucking legend in St. Louis. As Agent Fox is like, you goddamn right he's a legend. That's what he's saying. He's a big Patty Maroon fan. Anyway, pretty excited to have hockey back. I gotta still wait a little bit longer. Gotta wait like a month. I'm excited to see what like the young guys are gonna do because they got a lot of young guys. I mean, you know, obviously Snuggerud really started lighting it up last season. He's looked like he's definitely coming into his own. Devo had his moments. He was looking pretty solid at moments. I think he's a solid center. And Justin Carboneau, he was looking really good. I forgot which league he was playing in, but he was doing really good in there. I think there's a good chance he comes up to the NHL level this season. And, you know, hopefully he can continue lighten it up and doing solid. You know, but the Blues, they do have a history of shit in the bed at the beginning of the season. Last season, I was so optimistic after what they had did the previous season. And, you know, they had snuck into the playoffs by having like a 12-game win streak and then almost beat the President's Trophy winning Winnipeg Jets in the first round. They should have. They really should have beat the Jets. The Jets, of course, lost the very next round. And because I feel like the Blues really showed their weaknesses. And then I believe it was the Stars that beat the Jets Yeah, hockey season. It's almost here. Almost here, as I'm talking like Snake. I've been playing Metal Gear Solid Delta, so the remake of Snake Eater. It's Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, which is the Metal Gear Solid 3. And, I mean, it's essentially the same game as it was 20 whatever years ago. And, though the graphics are a lot better, or rather, but, yeah, they're pretty, it's been a long time since I played the original. Yeah, I've got David Hayter just like stuck in my head that, you know, originally voiced Snake. It is a shame what happened for the Phantom Pain whenever the part Metal Gear Solid 5, Kojima wanted to put a real A-list actor in as Snake. Kiefer Sutherland, which I like Kiefer Sutherland, but I love David. David Hayter to me will always be the voice of Snake in Metal Gear. And it was definitely a letdown that, and it just sounds weird, even just watching like clips of Metal Gear Solid 5 and hearing Kiefer Sutherland voice him, though it would come out that, you know, it was basically a clone of Big Boss, I think, that was him. So you could say, oh, well, it wasn't Big Boss, but then there is parts of Big, where it's actually supposed to be Big Boss, and it's not David Hayter. It's still Kiefer Sutherland. But goddamn, David Hayter talks like maybe I can get into character. Hold on. Otacon. They need to remake the first Metal Gear Solid. That one's my favorite one. That would be epic. That being said, it is great that they, you know, just reused all the same voice actors for Snake Eater, the Metal Gear Solid Delta. I'm glad they didn't just all of a sudden, you know what, we're going to put Kiefer Sutherland in here. We're going to have him re-record all these lines. But yeah, that was not the case, thankfully. And, I have been, you know, with the whole Sony thing, them getting rid of physical discs and then just run a monopoly on the PlayStation Store with just selling everything digitally and just raising the prices of everything, you know, it's pretty shitty, and it is interesting to watch the blowback. Will this be the thing that really destroys Sony as far as video games are concerned? I don't know. Maybe. As the consoles are getting just as expensive as PC, which I would now, there's just really, to me personally, I don't see any point in buying PlayStations anymore. I've always had a disc drive in there, though. But the PS5, I would have bought, honestly, a digital one, as I was considering, just because they were cheaper when I did get the PS5. But I also waited quite a while to get a PS5. I mean, my PS4 and PS3 still work, so it's not really, I didn't have to get a PS5. And there's just not really many exclusives anymore to the PlayStation that you're like, I have to have this thing. I have to have the PlayStation to play it on the PlayStation. Yeah, that being said, I don't remember exact what point I was trying to make there, other than the fact that, I'm kind of soured. I don't plan on buying the PlayStation 6. Not just the fact that they're getting rid of physical discs, which I like having the physical disc because they can never take that away from you. At least that company can't. I mean, for some reason, somebody could steal that from me. Seems unlikely. But owning the digital version only, the company can just take that, because you just are renting it, essentially, you've got a license for it, and they can remove that license at any point, which has also led to me, which is the same for streaming movies with all your streaming platforms. Even if you buy it on Amazon Prime, it's still just a license. They can revoke it at any moment. You could buy it one day, and the next, it's gone. And you can no longer watch the movie that you bought. It clearly states that you buy it. That is the option for it. And yet, it's just a license you're buying. Anyway, because of that, yeah, I've been buying physical media. I've been buying records now for years. at least for a good solid 4 years. I got a nice little record collection. I haven't been buying them a whole lot lately. But I occasionally get a record or two. But I've gone back to getting the 4K stuff and Blu-ray. I've got I did just get Akira. I forgot what I was even getting into initially with Sony. I am interested to see what's going to happen with Grand Theft Auto 6. I almost said 5. 6. As I had thought I was going to initially buy it. I think I even mentioned on the podcast I would buy Grand Theft Auto 6. As most of my friends from work are going to buy it, and that's going to be the game that they play. And, I'm a team player. I like to hang with my boys, so I had thought about buying it, and I did not, or obviously I haven't yet, I'm thinking I'm probably just going to skip on it altogether. I mean, I haven't bought a Grand Theft Auto game since San Andreas. that's not true. I bought the digital version of Vice City. And not even the like re-enhanced version, because I think there's even a re-enhanced. I bought the original game on digital. but I haven't bought any newer ones when it was new since like San Andreas. Vice City's the shit, man. Anyway, the biggest game on the horizon is Grand Theft Auto 6. Which was supposed to be coming out in, 2 months or so. But the company has said now it's going to be 6 months later. They are pushing it out 6 months. And people already pre-ordered this fucking thing, expecting it to be that date. They really screwing people over here. And anyway. because of... not only that, it sounds like you're going to have like a monthly, subscription to the fucking thing, to play the goddamn game. And, that is just, some bullshit. You know, you got to pay for I think the cheaper version of the game is like 80, 90 bucks, whatever it is, which I would expect it to be, fairly expensive since, it's a big game. It's a big studio game. They've been working on it for years. But then they're going to microtransaction the shit out of you. You got to pay for all this shit. And, I don't want to keep paying them money every fucking month and, every day I play the goddamn game. I just want to play a fucking video game that, pay for it once. And then get, some entertainment out of it. And it ends up, a lot of games like that, it ends up becoming like almost a full-time job. Like, I've never really played Grand Theft Auto 5, but from what I understand, at least with the GTA Online, you got to really do a lot of work to make money on that game. You don't get that much money. And, it's a real effort to get a lot of money on there. And that's just too much, too much work, man. I play video games to have fun. I am really starting to lean more on just going back and just doing retro gaming, getting the old systems and rocking it out that way. I do have, you know, some of my older systems. I don't have all of them. I don't have my Sega Genesis, unfortunately, anymore. I don't even remember what happened to that. I had a Sega Genesis with a 32X. I really don't remember what happened to that. If I gave it to somebody or sold it or what. I have no idea. I guess I just had gotten rid of it once getting the original PlayStation, but I really don't remember. You know, I had it for years. I really loved it. The Nintendo, I believe my mother had sold when we got our Sega Genesis at like a garage sale or something. The Genesis, I really have no fucking clue. I have no clue what happened there. I guess maybe she sold it again too to recoup some of her money. I don't know. Had she held on to it till now and then sold it, she would have made more money. And she needs money more now, so, you know, being retired and all, it's harder to come by money. Anyway, I doubt at the time I could have convinced her to be like, hey, wait like 30 years, Mom. Wait like 30 years. And sell, then sell this. I'll let you hold on to it, even though, it was a gift to me. You did pay for it. Anyway. I wish I remembered what happened to that. I would enjoy playing some old Sega Genesis on the actual system. I do have a TV that I have in the other room that I can hook up. I do have the Nintendo 64, which is probably the older system that I enjoy the most, have the most love for. Like, I have all of my old PlayStations minus the first PlayStation, which I don't think I have any of. I had like three or four different ones of those. I want to say it was three, but they all ended up burning up. So it wasn't a whole lot of point in holding on to those. And once I got the PlayStation 2, which I still have, but it's kind of jacked up. It needs to be fixed. But I think I got rid of, didn't worry about having another PlayStation 1 since the PlayStation 2 was backwards compatible and could play PlayStation 1 games. That being said, that was another system I absolutely loved, is the original PlayStation. I mean, that thing was so different than anything else, which is also why, like, I have no interest in buying the PlayStation 6. There's nothing in it that is different than any other system. There's no games that you're only going to be able to play on it. It's much more... it makes way more sense to buy a PC, which I have a PC. So there's really no point in me buying a PlayStation 6. But I might just end up at some point hooking up my Nintendo 64 in the other room, as I would love to play that. And they have some really cool newer systems that are, like, there is a M64. Oh, let me find this. M64 modretro.com putting out an M64. They just released this thing, which you got to buy the controller separately, which I think you might be able to plug in your old N64 controllers. They have the M64, and this isn't the only system I think you can buy like this. Of course, you can buy old systems modded out on Etsy, like get an old N64, the Nintendo 64, that somebody has put the mod in it to where you can hook it up via HDMI, which there's several ways you can do that. There's plug-in stuff that will adapt it to HDMI, but from what I understand, like the best way to do it is to solder in on the board these converters to HDMI. And so there's people you can buy that off of on Etsy, and but then they've got this new system. Mod Retro has the M64, which, in their own words here, I've got it in front of me. M64 is the best way to play your favorite original N64 games forever. Every detail of the console exists to produce the most accurate N64 experience ever made. Full compatibility with original cartridges and controllers. So it's not sold with a controller, but you can plug your old N64 controllers into there. So you can go back and play all your old favorites. Identical gameplay, timing, and audio. HDMI video output up to 4K. Customization options like CRT filters and overclocking modes, all backed by wireless or wired updates. Oh, shit. Updates designed to unlock new features, accessories, and games for years to come. It is everything you ever loved, combined with everything you ever wanted, created to preserve a time when gaming meant being together in one room. From sneaking downstairs with siblings to showing off for parents to sugar-fueled sleepovers with friends, this era has lived on through all of us in memory, and now with M64, it will live forever in reality. And it's got a translucent case, and you can get the clear. There's a purple, green, which is like my favorite color, but I don't know that I particularly like that green. I might go with the red. The red looks pretty sharp. And, of course, you can get controllers in the same colors, and you can get wireless controllers, which I have N64 controllers. Honestly, I think I would buy a wireless controller for it. Because if I would hook it up in my downstairs projector, I would want to be able to play it wireless and whatnot. Which there are still people that make N64 games. And somebody had made Goldfinger, the James Bond movie. On N64, and it's, you know, it's like GoldenEye. I really want to play that. I'd like to fucking get that. Let's look that up. Goldfinger. There we go. Goldfinger 64. Do 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 do. What's a mod? Damn it. Here we go. This is oh no. No, the website over. Oh, that game, this website's not working apparently right now. You can buy it. There's you can get it on Retro Gaming for $27.59, but then there's on eBay for $60. Ugh. I would like to get it. It looks just like GoldenEye, except there's Sean Connery's pictures. I wonder what kind of music. I don't know if they use the music. I would imagine they probably just use the music for GoldenEye in there. I know that's not the only I don't know when that was made. I think it's been out for a long time at this point. Anyway. Yeah, I really got to wrap this up. I need to go eat some food, get my Powerball ticket for the night, make sure that, or try to win some money. yeah, that's really all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.